talked about my mother before, my mother the artist. So many of you have already heard about Jane Dowd, who is an artist in Milwaukee, but also formative in the art world there. She started the Friends of Art in Milwaukee in 1950. She helped, they couldn't really work on building an art center there. They didn't have enough money. So she figured out, you know, maybe if we get together with the veterans and do a war memorial, because it World War II had happened, and there were a lot of people committed to that project. And so the Veterans War Memorial is down below, or up above, and down below it's the Art Center in Milwaukee. Eventually they built the Calatrava Brissolet, which with the wings, which she's a part of. If you go to the Milwaukee lakefront, you can see this magnificent sculpture there. And I was speaking with Rachel this past week about her daughter Lucy, who is very, very gifted artistically, as many of you know, and I recommended if she ever wants to go into the arts and become a painter or a sculptor, a good school to go to would be MIAD, which is the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, or the Chicago Art Institute, also an outstanding place. Mom was involved in that. She, art was her entire life, and therefore it impacted our lives as well. I would go to school with watercolor and paints all over my clothing, and I didn't intend to do that, but you couldn't avoid scraping up against all of these pastels and oils. It was a very colorful and rainbow-like way to attend school, beautiful. I have to say I was very lucky, a beautiful mother, beautiful person in my life. A lot of these beautiful mothers are not recognized or seen, and that's the story, the biblical story that I often talk about when we have our communion service, because whenever we have a communion service, talk about the presence of the 5,000 or 4,000 men, but you have a little comma there, not counting women and children, who were probably the ones who brought the food to the meal and fed everyone. Often they are the ones who are unseen. They're the ones you don't know about. So I'm going to read a scripture, and then we can listen to the words about Edith Sluderberg, the Rabbi Arnie's mother. This is from Sirach. It's in the Apocrypha. The words I switched around just a little bit because we're Congregationalists. It's a hymn in honor of our ancestors. We changed it to a hymn in honor of our mothers. Let us now sing the praises of famous women, our ancestors in their generations. The Lord apportioned to them great glory, majesty from the very beginning. There were those who ruled in their kingdoms and made a name for themselves by their valor, those who gave counsel because they were intelligent, those who spoke in prophetic oracles, those who led the people by counsel and by knowledge of the people's lore. They were wise in their words of instruction. Those who composed musical tunes or put verses in writing. Rich women endowed with resources living peacefully in their homes. All these were honored in their generations and were the pride of their times. Some of them have left behind a name so that others declare their praise, but of others, there is no memory. They have perished as though they had never existed. They have become as though they were never born, they and their children after them. But these also were godly women whose righteous deeds have not been forgotten. Their wealth will remain with their descendants and their inheritance with their children's children. Their descendants stand by the covenants, their children also for their sake. Their offspring will continue forever in their glory, never blotted out. Their bodies are buried in peace, but their names live on generation after generation, and the congregation always proclaims their praise. Amen. Amen. Rabbi Arnie, I'd like to hear about Edith.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a pleasure to be with you all again on this Mother's Day morning. Just a little over a year ago, May 4th, on the occasion of the evening of mourning and remembrance in of World War II in the Netherlands, I was honored to be asked to offer the keynote address in my mother's hometown of Zaltbommel in the province of Gelderland in the middle of Holland. My mother, Edith Hess Sludelburg, often spoke of an idyllic childhood. Excellent parents, grandparents, siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends, lots of activities, good schools, a vibrant synagogue, lots of nature, swimming, sports, fun. And then came the Nazis. She was terrified. The sky was black with planes, she would say. Jewish children were no longer allowed to go to school. Her parents had to close their clothing store. She could no longer go into parks to play with her friends. They could no longer shop except for 1 hour in the afternoon after many items had been sold out, though some merchants put food under the counter for my grandmother. All Jews had to wear a yellow star saying Jew. As she couldn't go to school anymore, my mother volunteered as for a seamstress every day in order to have something to do. It was there that a woman, seeing her yellow star, said, "Edith, I didn't know you were Jewish." She responded, "All my life." That evening, the woman contacted my grandfather, Arnold, asking for permission to find a hiding place for my mother. In the end, she found separate hiding places for each member of my mother's family. The yellow star was a mark for death. In my mother's case, it saved her life. My mother was shy and liked to be home. Only once did she try sleeping over at her aunt and uncle's house with her cousins, but at bedtime she wanted to go home. So preparing her for going into hiding away from home, alone with strangers, was heart-wrenching. I can only imagine what it must have been like for my grandparents to give away their precious children to strangers at a time of war in the hope that they might survive. They told their skinny little 15-year-old girl to count on it being 6 months, an eternity for my mother. In the middle of the night of October 3rd, 1942, after she put 9 layers of clothing on and ripped off her yellow star, Gerard van Engelen put her on the back of his bicycle, pedaled her to the Rhine River, took her in a rowboat across the river to a town called Haften, where Krein de Kock placed her on the back of his bicycle and took her to Pella, their farm. There she would spend the next 2 years and 7 months. And for the rest of her life, she observed October 3rd as a somber day of fasting and mourning. With great fortune, however, the de Kock family was warm, welcoming, empathetic, kind, and loving. They made my mother feel like one of the family. They called her sister. She was the youngest of the 6 de Kock children, and they all doted on her. Though she could never leave the house by day, and could only go outside late at night amongst the trees to get some fresh air, she was nonetheless fully integrated in family life. If anyone came to the house, she would be sure to be in the attic, and one of the six children would be with her. She was never alone. They purchased for her a spinning wheel on which she made lots of yarn, then knitted or crocheted the yarn into gloves, mittens, scarves, socks, sweaters, hats. This was how she filled her time. She went through puberty in hiding. Before sending her into hiding, her mother had prepared her for what was to come, and the Dakuk women helped my mother become a woman. As was common, when the Germans needed housing, they would expel families from their homes. One day they came to evict the Dakuk family, but after a conversation, it was agreed that the Nazis would have complete use of the main floor of the house while the family moved to the upstairs, with my mother hiding in the attic. Those 3 weeks were full of anxiety for everyone. Had my mother been discovered, the whole family would have been murdered. These consequences were well known to the Dakuk family before they took my mother in. But their deep faith in God compelled them to take the risk. They felt commanded by God to welcome the stranger, to provide for the less fortunate, to shelter the homeless, to protect the innocent, to keep faith with those in need. They took their religion seriously and acted as they believed God expected them to act. My sense is that they would have rather been killed doing the right thing than lived having violated their calling as people of faith and integrity. May we never be tested, but if we are, I hope that each of us would be as courageous. After the war, a few days after May 5th, 1945, my mother was reunited with her family. Miraculously, all five had survived, along with her aunt Heta, Tante Heta. But all of the rest of the family, her grandmother, all of her aunts, uncles, cousins, were murdered. As Esther, my sister, and I grew up, her story came out in small snippets. We would ask something, she would respond until breaking down in tears, and then that was it. Until next time. Over the years, we were able to learn more and more, and ultimately she was able to share her story on videotape. She spoke of her grandmother and how her father's inability to convince his mother to join them in hiding haunted him the rest of his life. She spoke of her cousins, her best friends, who were taken away. Whenever we traveled, wherever we traveled, she would look in the phone book for names of her cousins in the vain hope that any of them had survived. She lived with survivor's remorse, asking, "Why did I live when they all died?" The silver lining was the Dakuk family. They and my mother and family have remained close over the years. 34 years ago, the Dakuk family and Gerrit van Engelen were inducted into the Avenue of the Righteous Gentiles on the Mountain of Memory in Jerusalem at Yad Vashem for their heroic bravery, steadfast convictions, compassion, and selflessness. 29 years ago, members of the Dakuk and van Engelen families attended my ordination in New York. 6 years ago, my mother was witness for the wedding of the Dakuk's granddaughter, Kraina, to Basa Hort, and I had the honor of co-officiating the ceremony. 4 years ago, Karina spoke at my mother's funeral. Fortunately, my mother died an old woman, warm, in her own bed. Unlike most of her family, who died naked, screaming, on concrete floors in poisonous gas chambers. Images that haunted my mother every single night, preventing her from ever having a good night's sleep. Mom shared that since age 14, she felt that she had been living on borrowed time, and she was determined to make the most and best of that borrowed time. The truth is, all of us are living on borrowed time. And the more conscious we become of that, the richer and more beautiful and more precious that time becomes. Near the end of her life, after cancer had spread to her lungs and brain, she said to me, "I've had a great life. You've had me a long time. There's nothing to feel bad about. You go and live your life. Find happiness. I love you." I owe my very existence to Gerard van Engelen, Krijn en Engeltje de Kok, Jan, Corey, Altje, Engeltje, Krijn, and Leendert. I pray that they rest peacefully and securely in the loving embrace of God, who inspired them to be righteous heroes. Their memories are abiding blessings to us all, especially when we act heroically by their example to make this world a better place. And on this Mother's Day, I thank God for allowing me to be born to Edith Hess Slootelberg, who every day of her life made this world more compassionate and more loving. May she rest in peace. Amen.